The thing about leadership is that we're expected to lead regardless of what we're experiencing. We have to lead on good days and we have to lead on bad days. I've had to lead during times of family crisis, lead when I had personal illnesses. I had to lead when my mom was dying, and I've been leading through my grief. I've had to lead when I've been optimistic and when I've been in despair. In fact, many of you are smiling on the outside during your board meetings, media interviews, and donor meetings while battling burnout and even depression. Today, I want to provide a safe space for you. I want to share a few of my stories about leading through doubt and despair and the leadership lessons that got me through to the other side. Let's talk about life and leadership. Welcome to Life and Leadership with Kim Williams. I'm the CEO of Interfaith Family Services, a nonprofit that provides housing, help, and hope for families facing homelessness. I'm also the principal of Kim Williams Consulting, a change management firm that empowers nonprofits to change for the better. And I'm the author of Diary of an Insecure CEO, How I Went from Feeling Rejected to Raising Millions. I've led through a variety of organizational issues while raising over $50 million to fight poverty and learning a lot in the process. I created this podcast to share those lessons and help you to successfully navigate life and leadership. So let's get started. Hey, fellow leaders. How's life treating you? I hope you're doing good. As for me, it's been a bit of a bumpy ride. After the election, I ended up talking to several of my fellow African-American leaders. The general consensus was that we're disappointed. Most of us work in the social impact space, so there is some concern about how new policies may affect our clients and our organizations. But as I spoke to each of them, there seemed to be this underlying concern. Many of us wondered if the election results somehow reflects how society feels about us. Now, there have been many stories and studies about the challenges of leading as a Black woman in the nonprofit space, so I'm not going to belabor it, because much of my audience already knows and has been reading the research and has experienced it. And I also talk extensively about it in my book, Diary of an Insecure CEO. So if you haven't, pick that up and hopefully you'll find some inspiration there. But what's crazy is that I already plan to talk about despair in leadership for episode 32. Not because of the political disappointment or future concerns that many in my industry are experiencing right now, but because of the fact that this time of year can be one of the most overwhelming times for nonprofits, social impact organizations, and ministry leaders. So what does this mean? The holidays can be a tough time for leaders who have experienced loss, for example. The holidays are a stressful time for leaders who are working really, really hard to achieve those financial targets I just talked about because they determine how we're going to spend much of the rest of our fiscal year. The holidays is also a very busy time for balancing workplace obligations and those of family and friends. It's also a time when you want to make sure that your donors, volunteers, and staff are celebrated and appreciated. It's a lot, especially if you're just not feeling it. Now, this year, I'm in a pretty good headspace despite it all, but that hasn't always been the case. I've had some really difficult seasons of leadership. I remember leading the week after walking beside my eldest son as he lay on a stretcher after being carted off a football field while hundreds of thousands of people watched. It happened on a Saturday. He was in surgery by Saturday afternoon. And I was back at work on Wednesday. I was trying to raise money for our capital campaign and couldn't really afford to miss a lot of days. So that's one example, leading during a difficulty. I also remember leading when I was having heart palpitations and high blood pressure during the pandemic. I had experienced these complications for the first time in my life, And it was a time when our organization was working particularly hard to make sure that our childcare center never closed a day because we served a lot of essential workers and single parents who needed childcare to maintain their income during the pandemic. Simultaneously, we were getting about four times the number of calls for housing and rent assistance per month than we'd ever had. It was really, really stressful. Then my husband, daughter, and myself caught COVID. Yet I led through it all. Obviously, with COVID, I was at home, but still, I was leading. Most recently, I've had the challenge of leading as my mother was in hospice care. I was not at all prepared for the waves of emotions that would come out of nowhere in meetings and on the drive to work when I usually would talk to her, when I would meet with someone who shared her first name, it would throw me off. I would smile and work and try to talk my way through it. Yet my emotional capacity for foolishness during that time was extremely low. I remember having to end two meetings midway through because I just didn't think I could continue in a positive and productive manner. Then my mom passed, and it really hit me that life was fleeting and that I wouldn't always be here. Suddenly, I began to consider carefully how my life was spent and with whom I would spend it. I began thinking about my priorities and my values and my personal legacy. I realized that most of my life, I've been pushing myself to achieve one goal after the next. Now I wanted to pace myself. I wanted to pace myself so I could experience one meaningful and memorable moment after the next. I decided that I would no longer work so hard that it numbed my feelings until I was overwhelmed by them and they demanded my attention. Because as I learned to numb my feelings, sometimes I couldn't feel the good things just like I couldn't feel the bad. I decided that I was going to truly live an authentic and amazing life as I led and encourage others to do the same. And for the last year, that's been my focus. So what does it mean for you when you lead in times of despair and disappointment? And how can we live an authentic and amazing life while facing difficulties? Well, let's talk strategy. Okay, we've established that leadership does not stop just because life is lifing. So what does this mean in times of despair and disappointment? Does it mean that we forge ahead fearlessly? Does it mean that we quiet quit? Does it mean doing the basics as we navigate burnout? No, it doesn't mean any of that. It means being brave enough to take a break, bold enough to ask for help, and wise enough to reset. Let me say that again. How do we lead through despair? We must be brave enough to take a break, bold enough to ask for help, and wise enough to reset. So let's first talk about being brave enough to take a break. There are three types of breaks that I've learned are essential for a difficult time as a leader. First, there's the mental break. I like to turn off all the non-essential noise when I'm going through something challenging. For me, I reduce and if possible, eliminate social media for a time. I may post a brief update for family and friends if my challenge is a public one. I did this when my mom passed and then I logged off for about a week. I only answer calls from my closest family and friends. For everyone else, I created a text template that I cut and paste from my notes to my text in response to their calls or in response to their text. It typically says something like, I really appreciate your call or your text. It means a lot to me, which it does. And then I tell them to please keep me and my family in their prayers and that I'll check back in with them when things slow down. So by having this to kind of simply cut and paste in response to calls and texts, it helps me to be responsive and appreciate them without the stress of feeling like, oh, I need to call them back, but not having the capacity to do it. So that's something that I do. And I just limit my time for close family and friends during times of crisis or challenges. I also put an out-of-office message on to direct anyone who would try to contact me professionally to my colleagues. And this is, you know, the appropriate thing to do. I'm sure everybody does that during a time of an absence. And here's something else that I do. It may sound a little weird, but I limit stressful news. I really don't look at the news very much, if at all. And I limit like high drama or negative TV. My mom was sick, if I was watching a show and one of the characters had cancer, I would turn it off. Some people find, you know, encouragement in that when they do that. But for me, it just reminded me of something that I was dealing with, but didn't want to think about in times that it wasn't natural to think about them. So I limit stressful news. I limit high drama TV. When I'm dealing with my own issues, I really don't need to be distracted by other people's issues, especially if they're make-believe. So if it wasn't funny or uplifting, it was kind of a pass for me. This mental break ensured that I had the capacity to focus on what I had to do versus wasting headspace and emotional space on things that I didn't have to do. The other type of break that I believe is a must is a physical break or getting out of the office. But first, let me acknowledge the fact that I understand that leaders just can't take off without a plan, and that, you know, there's times when we have to be in the office physically. So for me, the out-of-office break or the physical break really comes in two parts. Part one is the emergency break. So what I mean by that is when there's an unexpected crisis or illness or death, you have to be out to deal with it. That's an emergency break. It wasn't planned, but it was essential. And usually an emergency break isn't really restorative. So after returning from an emergency break, I've learned that it's important to schedule a restorative break as soon as possible or as soon as it makes sense to do so. So what does that look like? Well, you may return to the office after an emergency break to check in with your team, to follow up on urgent matters, to take a look ahead and find a few days or a week within the next 2 to 4 weeks where you can take off and work with your leadership team to delegate tasks and assign tasks in a manner that's going to ensure that you can truly unplug and intentionally restore. That's an intentional break, a planned time away when it's less likely that you'll be interrupted or called upon and you can really unplug and restore. So make sure that in addition to the emergency break that might naturally occur because of your illness or scheduled surgery or something else that has you out of the office, make sure that you take an intentional break as soon as possible after an emergency break. And so finally, the third type of break, we talked about a mental break, physical break of being out of the office. But the final kind that I also need, and you likely will need, is a spiritual breakthrough. So part of the focus of my intentional break is to really hash out my feelings, my disappointments, and my concerns with God. Because here's the deal. My work as a nonprofit CEO requires a lot of faith. And if I'm feeling some kind of way about whether or not I can truly trust God to work things together for my good, it just jacks up how I'm able to trust Him to do things and work. So I have to really hash these things out with God. I have to be able to trust God. It's a must for me. I have to be able to trust Him in my life. So that means going to God with my truth during my intentional break and waiting on His presence so I can receive His. So what does that look like? It means like going to God with my truth. Let's take the passing of my mom, for example. Going to God with my truth looks like me saying, you know, Lord, I hate that my mom is gone. And there are things that I never got to hear from her and things that I never got to really say. Lord, I thought I'd have more time with her. And because of that, it's making me think about how much time am I going to have with my children? Can I really count on you to satisfy me with long life like the Bible says? is saying to God, like, all of a sudden, I feel like the things that were so important to me before this happened just aren't important anymore. All I want to do is spend time with my husband and kids. I feel like I'm losing my passion for my purpose. Will you restore it, or is there something I need to do differently? That's what I mean about speaking my truth with God. It's like telling him everything. This is how I really feel. This is how I feel about it. I'm feeling some kind of way about you for letting it happen. It's all those things. I feel like it's super important for us to be honest with God so that we can go back and be authentic in leadership. So during this time, I intentionally, and not, it's not a one-time thing, over a series of time, beginning with my intentional time off, but usually continuing after that, I pour out my heart to God. I hit him with my truth. And I might do it while I'm laying on a beach somewhere, or I'm snuggled in bed with my journal in a luxury hotel room, or I'm sitting poolside at my house listening to the water flow. It may happen in a variety of ways that I've set aside to relax. But during this time, I'm not just relaxing. I am relaxing, but I'm also dealing with the feelings, emotions, and thoughts as they come up. And I'm dealing with them through prayer, just talking to God as they flow out of me. And not only am I dealing with them, but I'm waiting on a breakthrough. And one of the things that I found is that the breakthrough happens in times, a lot of times, that we don't expect. Sometimes it happens right out through prayer, particularly dedicated time of morning prayer. But for me, it happens in a variety of ways, like the dream I had when my mom came to me and I laid my head on her lap and she rubbed my hair and told me how proud she was of me. And I told her how much I loved her. That dream was so cathartic for me. And it happened after I poured my heart out to God. Then there was the morning, during a morning prayer, when God unexpectedly gave me a vision for my future and a new charge for my work in my organization. I could hardly write fast enough to keep up with the inspiration that was flowing out of me. That was unexpected, but that was a breakthrough. Then there was the talk that I had with my husband, where we were just spending time together and we started reflecting on and celebrating our family's accomplishments. We realigned our priorities and we made plans for the future. That was a breakthrough. So it happened in waves and it happened in stages. But it happened in times that I'd intentionally set aside to rest and restore. And so that's why it's really important that during this time, you seek God for what's next and you seek him to deal with what's in your heart and any residue of disappointment and discouragement. Okay, now strategy number two, being bold enough to ask for help. When facing difficulties and despair, it's important that you pull together the most trusted members of your team and you ask them for help during a specific period of time or for elevated help. You ask them to have your back with the promise and hopefully the previous demonstration that you will have their back when the time comes, because life happens for everybody. And so what does it look like, you know, when you ask them for help? Well, you may reassign some meetings to them to make them the meeting lead. You may redelegate some of your tasks. You may ask board members for some time to delay difficult decisions, because one thing I've learned is big decisions should never be made when you're emotionally charged. So reassigning meetings, redelegating tasks, and delaying difficult decisions are all ways that you can ask for help. You should also seek help from a mental health professional if needed. Recently, I reached out to my former therapist last week to schedule a session for this week. There's some things that I really need to get out in a confidential, safe space in order to lead with the light and the love necessary for the times ahead. So I booked a session and I plan on several more between now and the new year. I think it's important to have a place to just say what you need to say, raw and real, and kind of work it out. So get professional help if you need it. And then you might even need to ask your family or friends to step up, whether it's asking your kids to take over chores and meal duties during the week of your big gala, or trading hosting the holidays with your siblings so that you can revise your strategic plan for 2025, or maybe substituting two of the 5 days you planned on going home for the holidays for two private self-care days instead. Just ask for what you need so that you can get what is necessary to move forward in a productive way. That is being bold enough to ask for help. Now, finally, strategy number 3. Be wise enough to reset. Life after a major life event, political election, or organizational crisis has implications on the future. It's a mistake to expect to resume business as usual without any adjustments to your leadership style, organizational priorities, or strategic plan. Take the time to look at your goals, look at what's happening, and what could potentially happen, and make the necessary changes. Just last week, I was helping a client whose organization is heavily involved in DEI work to develop new strategies and branding messages that's going to allow them to continue their very critical work authentically and effectively in a more challenging environment. This organization is refusing to reactively wait for what will likely be the need to have difficult conversations, but they're proactively preparing for them. And they're doing that through our consultation and our work together. I remember last week, both of us left the session super inspired and enthusiastic about some really exciting initiatives that they're having in place despite these challenging times. And that's when you know you're headed in the right direction. It's like Maya Angelou said, still I rise. That's exactly what a good reset and offensive strategy does in the face of inevitable opposition. So if you need my help, let me know. Now more than ever, we've got work to do, and we need to do it secretly in some spaces, strategically, and most importantly, successfully. So let's recap. When dealing with disappointment and despair as a leader, I recommend, strongly recommend, that you do 3 things. Be brave enough to take a break, be bold enough to ask for help, and wise enough to reset. Now, I've shared my stories and I've given you a sound strategy. Let's end with some spiritual encouragement. All right, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, and verses 17 and 18. It reads, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." This passage reminds me that while we can't always control what happens around us, we can always choose what happens in us. Just because we experience trouble, it doesn't mean that we have to be distressed. Just because we don't understand or even like what God is doing, doesn't mean that we have to despair. Just because we experience persecution, doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. In fact, the one thing that those that have been chosen by God have in common is persecution. And the one thing we know about persecution is that it always precedes the fulfillment of God's ultimate purpose. If we look for God's purpose by seeking His plan for us in this season, we'll find hope. And as Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. One thing I know for sure, after being persecuted for a period of time as the black sheep in my family, persecuted as the new leader that no one liked the first few years as CEO, persecuted by a capital campaign consultant who walked away at the start of our project because my board wouldn't make me give up my consulting company that he thought would be competition with his. I did it successfully alone, by the way. I know what persecution looks like. And I also know that those who trust in God will not be put to shame. I also know that the last eventually become first. I also know that God takes the weak and the foolish things to confound the wise. I know what it's like to be opposed at the beginning and celebrated at the end. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God's plan for you is good. Tap into that. Be about your Father's business and watch His blessings flow for you. Now let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come. Just thanking you that you're good and you're good all the time. It's not just something we say. It's something that any amount of us that have walked with you for a while already know. We know that you come through in good times. You come through in bad times. You come through when we're faithful. You come through when we're not. You are steady. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are our rock. You are our fortress. You are our shield. You are a very present help in the time of trouble. So we lean into you. We declare that you're a good Father. We declare that your plans for us are good and not evil. We declare that all things are working together for good. And we even declare that though you slay us, yet will we trust you. We trust you, Father. No other help do we know. But we don't need to know another because you're more than enough. And so today I pray that you would remind my fellow leaders by signs of faithfulness and by springs of joy that you're with them. I thank you, Lord God, that you're with us. I thank you, Lord God, that you will never forsake us. I thank you, Lord God, that in the end, we win. And if we haven't won, it's because it's not over yet. So we give you all the glory and we give you all the praise and we prepare ourselves to work out your purpose in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's tips can be found on my website, kimwconsulting.com. Just click the resource tab in the menu. You can also find information about my consulting services and upcoming events, and subscribe to my monthly Life and Leadership newsletter. If you have any questions that you want me to answer on my podcast, message me on Instagram at @leadwithkim. If you found this podcast helpful, please share, rate, and subscribe. Thank you for listening, and remember, change is inevitable, but changing for the better isn't. Change wisely. Thank you.